From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 154 with guest Amy Babinchuk, recorded March 4th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I'm having a better day than you, it sounds like.
It's been a weird morning for me. I have electronics problems, all kinds of stuff going on. It's one of those Murphy's Day law. Murphy's Law days. See? I can't even say it.
Yeah, you're paying up for all those days that the stuff worked. Now it doesn't.
Exactly.
It will pass.
How are you?
You know, no rest for the wicked, but it's coming on springtime here on the West Coast, so it's allergy season for me. So you're talking to a highly antihistamined version of Richard today.
which just means a little bit crazier and a little bit odder than usual.
I'm a little frantic today. Well, let me introduce our guest, Greg. Amy Babinchuk is the owner of Harbor Computer Services, a local small business specialist in Michigan, founded in 1999 as an MSP. She is also the managing partner of Third Tier, a company that provides advanced support to IT professionals and consulting firms. In addition to supporting her staff and keeping both businesses growing, she finds time to teach ISA to fourth-year computer science students at a local college, organizes and presents two or more webcasts a month, keeps two blogs rolling, participates in many technical news groups, and squeezes in some technical writing when the opportunity presents itself. Oh, and it also says here she serves on the advisory boards of GFI and Simform because she just doesn't have enough to do. Welcome, Amy.
Yeah, I got a lot of different things going on, I guess.
It seems like you're one of those people that has harnessed your ADD for the forces of good.
Nobody's ever called me ADD before, but I don't know. Yeah, I hate to let an opportunity pass, and there's so many cool things going on in IT that I just have a tendency to jump in.
There's nothing wrong with that. I like working on lots of different things myself. You are obviously big in small business server as well as essential business server. And I've been reading a lot lately. We did a show back in, I think, December of 2008 about Essential Business Server, sort of did the overview of the product. And now here we are in 2010. What's happened with Essential Business Server in the past 18 months?
Well, really, Essential Business Server is a new product for Microsoft. In the way that SBS is a product in Microsoft.
Right.
It's an accumulation, a suite of different pieces that are well established. And so they target it toward a particular market. And in this case, it's the 50 to 300 user marketplace.
It's sort of small business server's bigger cousin.
Yeah, sort of. Really that mid-market was in a really difficult place. And it was nice of Microsoft to finally realize that, hey, there are these companies that are kind of like tween, they may still only have one IT person.
Right.
That person usually is full-time on site, but that poor guy is torn off in a whole bunch of different directions and is an IT generalist, much like the people serving the small business market. So they have a lot of knowledge about, shallowly about many different things because that's what their job is. Their job is, do everything. I'm the IT guy for 150 people. I have to do everything from reset printers to build servers. And so the idea behind EBS is to develop a suite that fits that size of business that can help that IT person manage their infrastructure. So unlike SBS, where SBS is meant to be the network,
right,
EBS is meant to be this suite to help the IT person be better at what they're doing.
So what are some of the fundamental differences? For the people that didn't catch the last show back in 2008, what's the Reader's Digest version of the essential differences between these two different products?
So Small Business Server comes on one box. And, it contains Exchange. It runs on a Windows 2008 server. It's got Exchange 2007. It's got some custom-built apps in there for remote web workplace and that kind of thing. Essential Business Server is designed to be a multi-server platform. And that reflects the fact that it's going into bigger environments, right? We've got a lot more people to manage. Currently comes in a 3-server configuration. Now, keep your eyes posted because we're about to see the new version of EBS come out in 2010 this year. And there are some significant changes coming. But what we've got is a 3-server configuration. The first server is called your management server. The management server is gives you System Center. System Center is going to allow the IT guy to manage the servers, manage the PCs, get the in-depth alerting and reporting, be able to push out applications, kind of really give them that whole central management of the entire network on the one box. Then there's a mail server because it is coming with Microsoft Exchange.
Right.
So the mail server is actually split between two boxes. On the mail server, you've got your Exchange 2007. On the third box, which is your security server, is running TMG, which is the latest revision of ISA.
Right.
And TMG is also hosting the Edge piece for Exchange, and it will do filtering of your email as it's inbound. And then, of course, they're actually RWW, which is remote web workplace, that comes up from SBS into the mid-market space, eliminating a lot of those pesky VPNs that might be in the office. And then, you know, there's OWA, and a lot of the stuff is pre-configured for you, much in the way it is in SBS. So when you load up the boxes, you don't have to go through and configure Exchange. You don't have to go through and publish OWA. You don't have to go through and, you know, create a portal for your users to log into. All that stuff is pre-set up for you, so it just saves an enormous amount of time.
Well, and it makes sense to me that they'd be talking about a new version of Essential Business Server now with Exchange 2010 out. I mean, everything's gone through a rev, right? We've got 2000 R2. We're about due to switch up.
Yeah. Yep. And Microsoft now has some experience with how EBS is being used in the mid-market. And they've also been out talking to a lot of mid-market people about what new features they might want to see, what features they're using, what they get the most value out of. So in the next version, we'll see kind of an emphasis on the best points of the first version.
Because it was a first version.
Yeah, it is a first version. But, you know, like I said, it's different than a 1.0 of some other things because it is well-established products, you know, bundled into a suite service. One of the other big things it's doing for mid-market is it's helping them consolidate their licensing.
Right.
Licensing gets to be a big, ugly glob in the mid-market. You know, the networks have usually grown over time. They usually have a lot of different servers doing a lot of different activities. And you've got CALs for SQL and CALs for Exchange and CALs for just Windows users and, you know, just CALs maybe for terminal services. All these things are bundled into the single EBS CAL, so it kind of lets them consolidate that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if the product is included in EBS, you only need the one CAL to be able to do all of those things. Consolidating that licensing is another big benefit of EBS for those mid-market people.
Back in September of 2009, Microsoft released something called the Feature Pack 1 for Essential Business Server. And it seemed like the focus of that was on the TMG, the Threat Management Gateway part.
The security side.
Of EBS. Can you speak a little to what that was all about and what the issues it was addressing were about?
Feature Pack 1 added the ability for you to easily turn down the security levels on the TMG server. So as a new product, you know, it rolls out, it's got TMG on the edge. Microsoft anticipated that whatever firewall you had there, you would replace with this EBS server suite.
Right.
And that security server would become your edge. Well, there's a lot of resistance to doing that.
Sure.
You know, so the TMG provides a lot of great services. Besides just being a firewall, it is your Exchange Edge server. It is publishing your RWW, your OWA. It is providing spam filtering. or your email, it is checking for viruses on the way in. So it's doing numerous things. But there was resistance to putting it on the edge and letting it be your firewall. A lot of admins are just not familiar with the ISA along the way, or TMG, had never heard of it before. We're very reluctant to take their investment in Cisco or SonicWall or Juniper and toss it away and put this in instead.
Right.
So Feature Pack 1, once you install that, you get this nifty little slider where instead of having to know about TMG, instead of having to understand how to configure it, you can just take it down a notch and say, I have an edge firewall. Boop. It brings it down. It will still do the publishing functions for you. It will still do the filtering things for you. But it will not expect to be the edge server and will be reconfigured to sit behind your existing hardware appliance.
Gotcha. Kind of similar to like when you're in Internet Explorer or something and looking at the security levels that you can set. You can slide it up and down. There's some default values there. Does it allow you to also override them to be more granular?
Yeah, a little more. Well, yeah, more. It's going to, you know, in keeping with trying to not give the already stressed IT person more things to learn and understand, they really made it very simple and just to take it down a notch. And it's Microsoft acknowledging the fact that not everybody's going to be comfortable putting this server on the edge. They're going to want to keep their existing device. You may have VPNs. A lot of these businesses have multiple offices. They'll have site-to-site VPNs that are already terminated at that edge device. And so that's the other thing that the feature pack does, is rather than having TMG expect to be the endpoint for those VPNs, it will recognize that the VPNs terminate on the edge device and that it's behind. It will be able to put that through so that it knows that the edge device is handling VPN and can manage that traffic accordingly. You know, and if you've gone through the pain of setting up site-to-site VPNs, really the last thing you want to do is have to reset them up.
Well, especially if you've done that, you know, the good way of doing that is paired approach, where you're buying two devices, one that goes into each office, and they know each other well and can negotiate not only the secure protocols, but compression and all that. You're really resistant to swapping one of those out. VPNs are one of those things that, you know, they're non-standard standards. Mixing devices does not go well.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm a big fan. You know, if we're talking about putting in site-to-site VPN, and we'll get this call a lot at third tier, and I say, you know what, the biggest headache is when you have two different kinds of devices that you're dealing with.
Right.
Really, if you want a site-to-site VPN, you want the same device on both ends of that VPN, then your configuration will be simple. But you're right, it is the non-standard standard. It seems like nobody's implementation is the same as anybody else's.
Yeah, absolutely the case. And I'm still wrestling with, and of course, maybe this is just my enterprise background failing me here. What was the problem with simply putting the TMG behind the firewall and passing through? Is it just so protocol restricted that it was very hard to turn it down?
Well, right. The rules are already populated, right? They wrote the wizards so that when it's installed, it pre-populates the rules. And
right.
Those were written with certain assumptions.
Yeah, the assumption being I'm on the edge.
The assumption being that I'm on the edge. And so when you start creating your network definitions and your routing definitions and your NAT definitions and things in TMG, it's built from that assumption. So doing that, changing that is, I think it's a good thing. It also introduces the concept of defense in depth, which is something that we promote all the time anyway.
To you say defense in depth in the sense of having a separate firewall device from the edge device that's provided with EBS.
Sure. And really, you're letting TMG do the thing that's very, very good at, and that is control publishing.
Right.
You know, it tends to be better at that function than most other devices out there. It allows you much more fine granular control. Instead of just opening the port, you can actually publish the application. And that's where TMG really, really shines. So you're just sort of dividing the workload now and letting your edge device, you know, open the ports and handle the VPNs, letting your TMG handle all your application publishing and filtering. I think it's a really nice change that they made.
The, And the edge piece isn't optional. Like, you can't take this away. Exchange won't work without it. Like, this is absolutely a critical piece of the pie.
Absolutely critical piece. Each component is mandatory.
Right.
You need to install all three servers. Now, you can virtualize all three of those and put them onto one really beefy mm-hmm. box or into a blade.
And I was thinking about that when you described it as servers. It's like, these could also all be VMs. So there could be one physical piece of hardware, and then they're each a virtual machine within that. Although,
or you might choose to split them up and do a virtual machine on two of them and maybe a hard machine on one.
And that hard machine, probably the edge machine, would be the physical?
I would think the exchange machine.
Yeah, so it is. EBS is supported 100% virtual.
Okay.
Now, the TMG server, from a security point of view, generally you don't like to virtualize your security machines.
Right.
So I would say the preferred method, and the one that we're seeing more deployments go, is the management server and your messaging server being virtual boxes, your TMG being a physical machine.
Gotcha.
So then you're into two physical boxes. And it runs really well that way. Exchange, for the big beast that it is, actually is pretty friendly on a machine and doesn't require as many resources as I had feared originally.
Hmm. You know, thinking about that branch office scenario and how we like to have matching network gear on each end, could I have two copies of EBS so that I'm going from TMG to TMG? Does TMG support maintaining a VPN link between branch offices?
It does, but you wouldn't have two EBS suites. You would just purchase another copy of TMG.
Oh, I see.
Which runs about $1,200, and put that on a server at the branch office end.
Yeah, so substantially cheaper than buying another EBS suite. You only need another copy of TMG.
Right. You only need TMG at the remote office if you wanted to have like on both ends to do your site state VPN. Because your EBS suite is going to be holding the FISMO role. So there's two domain controllers in this suite.
Right.
That management server and the messaging server are both domain controllers. So you don't want to be purchasing more of those to put out at the branch office.
No, you only want one FISMO, but you would want something with Active Directory in the branch office. Maybe just we don't have read-only in EBS 2008, do we?
Well, the EBS suite itself does not, but there's no reason why you could not put a read-only domain controller out in your branch office.
Right. Yeah, I guess you buy the license.
Yeah, much like SBS. You have one SBS server and as many other servers as you want to have, and as many other domain controllers as you want to have. It's just you can only have one SBS.
Right.
The same is true for EBS. You'll have one EBS suite and as many other servers and as many other domain controllers as you want to add to your network. Go ahead and do it.
And in that sense, it gives a really clear path to, you know, life beyond EBS as you get bigger and grow beyond what it technically, what's the limit, 300 connections or 300 users?
Right. Yep. 300 users is the maximum on EBS. And then, you know, from there, you're into more the enterprise area, which there isn't, you know, if you think about it, really the advantage of EBS is a cost. It's priced as a suite, so you're going to save a significant amount of money over purchasing those items individually. When you get above 300, you have to break that apart.
Right.
But those are already domain controllers. You know, you already have other boxes on your network. It's not going to be a painful process to move out of that suite.
Yeah, and it sounds like they've built a clear path out to standalone. And you can migrate Exchange to a regular Exchange box as well?
Sure. You could even add another Exchange server to your network.
Right.
So, you know, if you found that you needed more than that one Exchange server for performance reasons, you could add another. Mm-hmm. And if the EBS suite goes away, you just reconfigure your Exchange accordingly. Keep moving forward.
So what's dialed into that 300 seat limit? I mean, is Exchange literally limited to 300 mailboxes?
No, the Exchange is not limited to 300 mailboxes. What is limited is 300 user CALs.
Okay.
Or device CALs, or accumulation of both. That's where the limitation comes in. You can have as many exchange mailboxes as you want to have. You could have 500 mailboxes on there. It won't care.
Right.
It's really only limited at the Active Directory level.
And is this actually an EBS CAL or is this a workstation CAL?
An EBS CAL.
Okay.
So the EBS CAL covers you for your Windows CAL, your Exchange CAL. TMG doesn't require CALs. They don't require, I don't recall if System Center does. But it's basically you're getting all of the CALs kind of rolled into one.
One sort of package CAL. But then, like you said, if you buy another Exchange server, you can buy its own CALs for that, and that sort of works past that limit.
Well, you wouldn't actually need it as long as you're under that 300 user limit. If
right.
you add another Exchange server, you don't need additional Exchange CALs.
Is there any particular tricks you need to deal with EBS if you do go to 2008 R2?
If I went to 2008 R2 with like another server or domain controller in the network, is that what you mean?
Yeah, I was just thinking through the scenario of maybe branch offices are, you know, growing larger. I would probably buy 2008 R2 and that updates Active Directory somewhat. Will that roll okay onto EBS?
Yeah, that's fine. You really handle that just the way that you would a network that didn't have SBS.
Right.
EBS. There's no difference.
There's no governor out there saying, hey, you can't change this Active Directory server, you're in EBS. Oh, that's good. So it's not stopping me from doing the sorts of things that would naturally happen as stuff age.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to really be able to do things on the network as you normally would. The advantage. So let me back up a little bit and we'll just talk briefly about why Microsoft created EBS in the first place.
Right.
As an IT person, when we look at mid-market businesses, and when we've been asked to, usually it's help out on a project because their own staff was overwhelmed and couldn't get to it or didn't have the right skill set.
Right.
So we'll go in and help with that. What we found in those mid-market businesses is their networks are really kind of messy.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that one person in there, and, you know, we've seen 200 user networks with 15 servers.
Yep.
And that's not uncommon. And the reason is it just kind of grows over time.
Yeah, it's that organic growth thing.
It's kind of stuck in the model of each server has its very own specific purpose. And for a long time, that was the mantra in IT, right? You know, just silo everything so that you can keep better track of it. Now consolidation is the key to efficient management. So we're kind of going the other way. You see all of these servers, and you've got this one poor person trying to manage 15 servers, and while maintaining 200 desktops,
right,
all by themselves. And a lot of things tend to get kind of left in the dust, you know. We know we've got some problems with Active Directory, or we know we have some DNS issues, or yeah, we still got this NT server over here, and they're so busy doing day-to-day activities that the big management stuff kind of escapes them for lack of time to
right.
be able to deal with it. It's not that they don't know that they should be doing these things. It's just they just don't have time. So the whole idea of EBS is to try to consolidate some of these things into very easy management tasks so that they will have time to do some of this higher-level stuff. Some of the basic things will be taken care of for you. And you can push out patches automatically using System Center. You can deal with your alerts. You can organize and prioritize tasks on your servers. You can schedule deployments of software to be done. There's just a lot of things that kind of pulls all together for that person to make it easier to manage their network. And that's the ultimate goal of EBS.
Just to sort of alleviate pain around those sorts of things. Now, when you've stepped into that situation, 15 servers there, and you're trying to bring EBS into there, that sounds very challenging. Like you're going to be replacing a few things, like maybe the mail solution. You're certainly going to bang up against whatever firewall they've got, but do you virtualize all those machines and sort of pull them together? It almost seems like EBS couldn't save you in that particular scenario.
So yeah, when you install an EBS server, you are always injecting it into an existing environment.
Of course.
This is something that's completely different from small business server. if there is an existing environment in a 20-user company, who cares?
Yeah. It's something you can replace in an afternoon.
You can redo everything. You're replacing it all. Poof, you're up and running. You've got your standard network environment in a box that just poof, now you're up and running on it. And it's relatively simple. Maybe worst case scenario, it might take you 2 days to redo an entire small business network. EBS not going to quite be like that. But you are going to be taking EBS suite and injecting it into an existing environment. And the most successful way to do that is to do a lot of pre-work. And what happens with EBS is the preparation takes just as long as the actual implementation. So if you think you're going to spend, say, 40 hours getting these three servers installed, configured, in use on the network for everybody, you're going to spend about that same amount of time getting the network ready so that those EBS servers can come into that environment.
Right.
And, you know, it's Active Directory and DNS and making sure that we've got no more NT servers, no more Windows 2000 servers, and Active Directory is brought up to the proper level. Those are the big, big issues. Now, the EBS team recognized that that's what the problem is, and so they developed a tool. It was originally called the Prep and Planning Tool for EBS.
Right.
Now it's called the IT Health Scanner. And it can be used in any environment. It doesn't have to be used for EBS. It's a wonderful tool. It's going to do about 180 checks on your network for you.
Wow.
And give you guidance and recommendations to go through and fix those things. So by the time you get done running through that tool, you've got a really nice, well-functioning network where your DNS is configured correctly, your Active Directory is configured correctly, all of your domain controllers are synchronizing properly, everybody's patched and up to level, all the old junk has been removed out of your network. You got this kind of nice functioning network, and then you bring your EBS servers in.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the equation for, you know, 50-50 in terms of time could even be shifted, that the more prep work I do, the less time I'm going to have to spend on the actual migration. So, you know, I've certainly had the experience that planning ended up being longer than the actual prep work. But, you know, you always spend that planning time one way or the other. The question is, do you spend it with the servers messed up, or do you spend it before you've done any harm?
Exactly, yeah. So we definitely try to spend it on the front end.
Sure.
And that's something that you have to talk to your clients about so that they have that expectation that, you know, I'm not just going to show up on day one and stick the DVD in and go. You know, we're going to spend the first week getting the network ready and fixing all those little nagging, annoying problems that kind of have, nothing was broken, but they were just little nagging things that were being ignored because we didn't have time to get. We had to clean that stuff up first so we have a good network to put this into. If you put it into a network that hasn't been prepared properly, you will be spending twice the amount of time on the back end, and everybody will be unhappy and in pain.
Right.
If you spend it on the front end, the users won't have that pain experience.
Well, and I just found this tool, this Microsoft IT Environment Health Scanner. I had not heard of this before. I'll make sure there's a link on the site for this, because this sounds like something anybody should run, just to take a look around and see what their network's like.
Oh, it is not tied in any way to EBS, and it does not make any changes to your network. So it's a scanner, and it will give you recommendations and help walk you through the process of fixing up what it finds. But those 180 checks are invaluable to any network.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm just reading through this list here, and they're all the classic whammies of Active Directory, stuff like, is network time protocol correctly configured? Is the DNS sorted out correctly? Are your shares right? Like all of those evil little things that build up problems over time that normally you only ever see if you study the event logs of your servers. And if you're that poor guy with the 15 servers working all by himself, you have no time for event logs.
And manual inspection of all
exactly.
That can take a lot of time.
And plus, even when you do find an error, what does this mean? There's just no indication that, replication was blocked for this amount of time. Now it's working again. You don't even realize that it's an NTP problem.
Yeah. The health scanner is going to point you toward KB articles and TechNet articles for how to resolve the particular problem that it found.
Yeah, and that's the main thing I'm looking for, is something to help me diagnose that I have a sense. You know, I know lots of folks that have Active Directory. This is, there's something wrong. I have no idea what, but I can feel it in my bones. So, you know, to actually have a tool that says, here's what's wrong with your Active Directory.
Yeah. It's a great tool, too. If you, as a consultant, if you get a new client and you need to know what status this network is in or where to start and what to do, run that scanner produces a nice report. And you can say, all right, these are all of the issues that we're going to start with.
Nice.
And we're
going
to get this network clean and well-functioning.
Well, that's a classic consultancy 80-20 thing. You know, how you knock them dead on Monday morning is you start with this, and immediately you have a work list of problems that probably have been nagging them for a long time they didn't know how to resolve. So you're the instant hero. By lunchtime, everybody loves you. Hey, Amy, it's been really fun talking to you. Is there any last-minute call-outs, things people should be looking at? I'm going to make sure the Environment Health Scanner is on the website, but are there other tools we should be looking at?
Nope, that's the number one tool. And, you know, arguably, it's one of the greatest things that the EBS team produced.
Nice.
Very cool.
Amy Babichak, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.